Later today, Columbia University will announce this year's Pulitzer Prize winner and finalists. The New York Times is hoping to add to its list of 132 Pulitzers, by far the most of any news organization. Yet the war in Ukraine renewed questions of whether a Pulitzer won by the Times 90 years ago this month should be returned. NPR's David Folkenflik reports.
There is one name in the annals of 20th century American reporting that summons pretty much uniform contempt.
Walter Duranty. And he is the personification of evil in journalism.
Oksana Piasecki is a native of Ukraine. She came to this country as a child refugee in 1950.
He is one that formulated these lies, so we think he was like the originator of fake news.
The British-born Walter Duranty covered Russia in the 1920s and 30s. Then, as now, an autocrat's decrees led to mass deaths of Ukrainian civilians, and he relied on misinformation to cover it up. There was no social media, no Twitter, no internet, so foreign correspondents were among the only ones who could get news out, but they were censored and often threatened. Duranty was the New York Times' man in Moscow, as the line went, with a cushy apartment in which to entertain, and a reputation as a leading authority on the Soviet Union. Duranty had staked his name on the idea that Joseph Stalin was the strong leader that communist country needed. In return, Duranty won rare interviews with Stalin and wrote glowingly about Stalin and his plans. So let's be clear on what those plans led to: the deaths of millions by famine.
Activists from the Communist Party locally and nationally went house to house in Ukrainian towns and villages confiscating food.
The journalist and scholar Anne Applebaum has written a history of the era. She says Stalin sought to bring Ukraine to heel and to pay for his big effort to industrialize the nation.
They took wheat, they took grain, they took vegetables, they took livestock, they took everything that people had.
Applebaum says Communist Party officials had possible dissidents arrested, exiled, and killed.
People ate mice, they ate rats, they ate leaves, they ate grass. There was even some incidences of cannibalism. It's thought that between 3 and 4 million people died.
She says there's no evidence Duranty was bribed or blackmailed by Russian agents or swayed by the appeal of communism. He simply towed the line, excusing and rejecting the deadliness of Stalin's rule well past any moment of possible denial. A Welsh writer named Gareth Jones reported about the famine after interviewing ordinary Ukrainians as he wandered by foot for 40 miles. Again, Anne Applebaum.
Duranty set out to tear him down. And he wrote an article saying it was entitled, "Russians are hungry but not starving." And of course, at the time he succeeded because he was the famous Walter Duranty.
In 1932, Duranty was awarded a Pulitzer for his writings about Stalin. Even as the famine subsequently unfolded, Duranty was unwavering in his defense of Stalin and his policies, using approved euphemisms like malnutrition instead of famine. Duranty also wrote, quote, "To put it brutally, you can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs." Decades later, in 2003, under public pressure, the Pulitzer's board conducted a review of Duranty and found no concrete evidence of efforts to deceive. It decided against withdrawing his award. Applebaum is withering on Duranty's failings, yet she just joined the Pulitzer board this spring, and at the moment she reserves judgment on the question of the award. Applebaum says it's always fraught to start judging history through the lens of the present. Yet she acknowledges even some of Duranty's peers in Moscow considered his behavior outrageous.
He was not only the greatest liar among the journalists in Moscow, but he was the greatest liar of any journalist that I ever met in the 50 years of journalism.
That's the late Malcolm Muggeridge. He wrote about the famine in 1933 for the Manchester Guardian. Muggeridge spoke here in 1982 for a documentary.
I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, anybody you were talking to knew that there was a terrible famine going on, and indeed in Moscow itself, there was a decided food shortage.
The New York Times has come under periodic pressure to disavow Duranty's work. The Times nonetheless still lists Duranty among its Pulitzer winners, with a publicly posted essay calling his work discredited and explaining why. I asked the paper's next executive editor, Joseph Kahn, about Duranty's award and his legacy.
I think it was a very different time and place. I mean, the notion that you had, you know, a single correspondent on his or her own sort of defining take on a major story doesn't feel like the world we live in today.
Kahn says the Times has 40 journalists in Ukraine right now and says what it's doing is, in some ways, making up for the paper's past shortcomings. Back in 2003, after its formal review, then-Times publisher Arthur Sulzberger Jr. said stripping Durante's work of the award would be like airbrushing history, something Stalin did. Bill Keller had just become the Times' executive editor that summer. He tells NPR he looks back with some regret.
I mean, I can articulate a case for not revoking the prize and saying this is a teachable moment, hold the prize out there, but surround it with the shame it deserves.
Which is what the paper and the Pulitzer Board have sought to do.
I can articulate that case, but I thought the Pulitzer Board's reasoning in not doing away with the prize was pretty lame. The Pulitzer Prize is not just an accolade for an isolated piece of work. It at least implies an accolade for the reporter's performance. And Durante's performance was shameful.
Keller now says the Pulitzer Prizes should strip Durante of the honor. The New York Times maintains that decision on Durante rests with the Pulitzer Board, which is overseen by Columbia University's Journalism School. The Pulitzer's new administrator, Marjorie Miller, says the board stands behind its earlier decision. She also notes the New York Times has never requested that the prize be rescinded. David Folkenflik, NPR News.